Welcome to the Therapy Deconstructed podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bonnie Wims, therapist, coach, and a UK chartered counseling psychologist. So my mission here is to talk about therapy in a way that's easy to understand and to dispel any misunderstandings and rumors about what therapy is, who it's for, and who it's not for. This podcast is my way of deconstructing the conventional wisdom and the media narratives about therapy and explaining what's what. I will offer you the tools and support needed to live the life you've always dreamed of living. So together, we can use our resources and understanding to help you to take advantage of this beautiful thing and live a life with the most possibilities. So let's pull back this curtain and remove the mystery, the secrecy, and the stigma attached to the whole thing. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to my podcast. I'm so happy you joined me. And this podcast is especially special to me because I have a guest, and the guest is Jennifer Dawn. And Jennifer and I don't know each other that well. We haven't known each other that long. But what I was struck by Jennifer from a first meeting was her openness about her journey and her mental health. And so I love that. Obviously, you guys know, but I've done podcasts in the past about my Costa Rican experience. And now you get to meet the woman's whose fault it is that I did that. So welcome, Jennifer. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bonnie. I'm so excited to be here. I'm glad it's my fault that you ended up having a fantastic experience in Costa Rica. I will take credit for those things all day long. So I'm super excited to be here and talk with you today.
Great. Tell my listeners what it is that you do and that sort of thing so they'll know why I followed you to Costa Rica.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a business coach. I've been doing it for over a decade now. I've been a business owner really myself my entire life. I started my first business when I was 8. It was an apple stand because I thought a lemonade stand was so yesterday. I was a little bit of a punk. I had my first software company when I was 23. I grew it to 7 figures. I also had another business in corporate that I grew to multiple 7 figures. And then I eventually went out on my own and started my coaching practice. And so I've been doing that for the last, I think, almost 12 years now. So really excited to be doing that. And so a few years ago, we started doing retreats. And last year, we branched out and we did our very first international retreat. And that was the one in Costa Rica that you were able to attend and where we got to meet each other. And I'm just in love with them. We're having so much fun helping our clients get these just huge, massive transformations. And honestly, who doesn't want to go to a beautiful place and be pampered and have gourmet and luxury everything? And it's just such a nice reward for being a business owner. Often we're kind of stuck with all of the of being a business owner, but this is a great opportunity to get to celebrate being a business owner. And so that's what I do.
Yeah, you do. And the reason you're on this podcast is because I've met a lot of coaches running my own business and just going to events and things. You're very special and unique in my mind in the way in which you approach coaching. And so I went along to this Costa Rica thing pretty much not knowing anything. I think that keeps you open if you don't have any preconceived notions, right? So I had no idea who you really were, what you were about, other than everybody I talked to loved you. I don't know which day of the Costa Rican trip it was, but there was a day where you opened up and dedicated a good portion of that day to our own personal development. And you were so open about your own personal life and your own mental health journey. And I sat there, you wouldn't have known because I was quiet there sitting there, but I was sitting there with just my mouth open thinking, I've never heard a coach speak about mental health this way, and also speak about the importance of that holistic experience of who you are with who you are and how you bring yourself to your business. And it blew my mind because I just loved it. I loved the whole concept about it, the way that you explained it. But you went into your own mental health challenges and you're very open and vulnerable that way, which allowed the rest of us, to follow. But do you mind telling us a little bit about sort of how that started for you? That, because like you said, you've been a business owner your whole life. But where and how did you get interested in your mental health?
Well, that is a great question, Bonnie. And you know, this is really great validation for me. When I first started doing retreats, I remember at one of the very first ones years ago, I had gotten up and I was sharing at the retreat. And I had had somebody who was not on my team anymore, but at the time they were like, Jennifer, you know, you really shouldn't be sharing your story because you're the leader, right? You're the leader of this retreat. And they kind of took it as a sign of weakness that I was getting up and sharing my story. And I took that to heart and I had to think about it. And I realized though, from several retreats since then, that when I, as the leader, quote leader of the retreat, would get up and actually share my story and be vulnerable, it kind of blazed a path for everybody else to do the same. And it just sort of opens those doors. And so it's something that I now do at all of my retreats, and you're validating it because that is my intention. I am very happy to share my story. I'm a real human being too, who, you know, faces all these struggles and challenges the way we all do. And I think that when people see like, hey, if she can get up there and she can share her story, I can be vulnerable in this space as well. So I love, even though you didn't say anything, I love hearing this. It really helps me to know, like, you know, okay, I'm on track with the work I'm doing to get people to be in a space where they can be open. So for me personally, my mental health, my journey has been a very interesting one. I grew up in a family with a lot of abuse, a lot of sexual abuse from the father who raised me. He was not my biological father. I didn't ever meet my biological father until I never have. I didn't even find out I had a different biological father until I was 21 years old. Mm. And so the father who raised me was sexually abusive, and I went through that as a child. And as I grew up, I was basically always just a survivor, and I'm pushing through it and I'm fine and nobody can touch me. And then I got married, had a couple kids, and about a decade into that marriage, I was really unhappy from like year one, but I lasted like 9 years in it. And then I just couldn't do it. And then I went into a second marriage, and that marriage was with somebody who was abusive. And I went through that divorce. And then I met my husband that I'm married to today, who is a lovely human being. And I love him so much. And he's the right person I'm supposed to be with. But when we first met, we were fighting a lot. And he basically said to me, you need to go to therapy because we're not going to make it if you don't go get fixed. I was like, okay. And so it was hard to hear. I'm sure all my friends out there whose spouses or partners are like, you need to go to therapy and fix yourself. That's never a good thing that anybody wants to hear. And of course, your defenses go up. And I think there's a little bit of a stigma around therapy, like it being a bad thing. And I did agree to go because underneath all that, he did have a point. If we're going to keep fighting like that, we weren't going to make it. And I already had so much shame around not one, but two divorces. I'm just like, you know, I had so much shame around it. I just couldn't even, you know, fathom the idea of having a third failed relationship. And so I did go to therapy, and I went so that I could prove him wrong. If I'm being honest, Bonnie, I was just like, I didn't think I needed any help or work. I knew he was the one with the problem, and I went to prove him wrong. Well, as luck would have it, we ended up finding a therapist who was a trauma therapist. And in our first couple of sessions, it became very, very clear that there were issues that I didn't even realize were going on with me. And I was dealing with some PTSD. I was getting triggered. I just didn't know. I just thought I was getting really angry. You know, I was blowing up. We would have a big fight. And I just thought, you know, it was just like, that's just how it was. And when she started to explain to me like what was really happening, it was very, very eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And that was really the start of my 4 year. I actually was with her for 4 years to work through and heal all of this early childhood trauma. And I'm happy to say me and my husband are still happily married today. So it totally worked. But really, that's how I got into therapy, of just being like angry and resentful and wanting to prove my husband wrong.
Great way to approach it. That's a great way.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I love the honesty that you tell that story. It reminds me of on the retreat. There was sort of a moment, you know, we were all sitting up in that beautiful area, just looking out on the view and the just listening to the frogs, and it was just so gorgeous. And we're just sitting there, and I remember you started to talk about this. And like I said, my mouth dropped open because I couldn't believe the beautiful vulnerability that you brought to the story. And just now again, I appreciate that so much, because I know there are people out there who are where you were and who don't feel hope or don't feel that they understand what to do. Because what I hear a lot from people is, I just keep trying to change my behavior, but nothing works. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you'd have an argument. You think, okay, I'm not going to blow up again. I'm not going to do that. And then inevitably you do, because you're not changing the root. You're not getting to the cause. And you tell that story in such a way that I feel like other people can resonate, of where we blame ourselves for the bad behavior, but we have no clue how to get in there and start tinkering with, you know, our self-belief and our view of the world and our view of ourselves in that world. You are very open about this trauma that you suffered. And that's the other thing I think people don't understand, is how that burrows in and sticks if it's not addressed, right? Is that how you began to understand it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because honestly, the abuse, it could have been a lot worse. And I call him my father because he's the only father I've ever known. I mean, he could have done far worse things. I mean, what he did was bad enough, but it could have been worse. And so that's really one of the coping mechanisms I used, was just like, yeah, it sucked, but I'm still here. I'm okay. I'm fine. And I just kept driving through. And if you had known me in those earlier years, you would never have known that anything was going on. I mean, I did great in school. I was involved. I, you know, was happy. I was smiling. You would not have known these earlier things that were going on. And truly, I just pushed through them. But it wasn't until I got to a place where it was like, wait a second, like, I literally cannot have another failed marriage. Like, what's really going on here? That I really had to stop and slow down and go, wait a second. You know, when you keep repeating these cycles over and over, and you have to look at, like, who's the common denominator here? You know, you can bring different people in, but it's still you. It was that kind of wake up call that I had to really look at it. But it was really the therapist who helped me to see, because she just started asking me questions about what had happened. And I was very willing to share that information. And then hearing her take on it of like, hey, Jen, do you know that, like, this is actually a bad thing that happened to you, even though you've just been pushing through it and like, okay, it's fine. I'm fine. It's actually a bad thing. And then she really helped me to connect those dots between blowing up in the fight and why I was getting mad at these and really upset at these just seemingly silly, stupid things, just things that would just like set me off. And she helped me to kind of connect those dots. And when the dots connected and then I started to understand, I'm like, oh, it just opened up my whole world. And then I was in, I was committed. So I knew I needed to do this work once I really started connecting those dots and understanding that, like, the early childhood trauma and the behavior, and when I could connect it and then start to understand it, then it made sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, because I think that's the thing that we don't think about so much. You know, we don't understand how those dots connect. And for you to talk about it that way, it just makes me think about when we use the word trigger. You know, it's way overused and in the popular world now, and most people, it's kind of lost its substance because of that. There are several, that's probably going to be a podcast episode, and all the words that have lost their power because they've been sort of co-opted into the regular world. And people use the word trigger quite cavalierly now, but what you're describing there is a real deeply rooted trigger, where something's happening and it is like a heat-seeking missile right to your pain, and you react from that pain. You react from that painful place. You're not reacting as Jennifer, grown-ass, you know, major successful businesswoman. You're reacting as that young girl who was hurt, and you're scared, yeah, and you fight. And I think that's the thing that a real trigger is just reacting from a very, very young, hurt place that mm-hmm. can come out in all kinds of ways, but often as an adult comes out fighting, you know, because we had a yeah. fight And it's interesting when you talk about, if I would have known you then, that I wouldn't have known this. Like, you were putting on that face, you were being, you were doing all the right things, and to the outside world, fine, because that's what you were portraying to people. Did you have, during that time, did you have thoughts to yourself that maybe this is something I could eventually need help with, or were you just pushing through?
Yeah, I was pushing through. I was like, everybody else needs help. It's not me, honestly, because I'm a fairly high functioning person and I get a lot of things done and I've had a lot of success in business and people generally like me. And it's just like, okay, and I'm a pretty likable person. Yeah. And so really and truly it was with the men where it was just like, it's always them. It's never me. They need the help. I don't. But what my therapist helped me to understand was that the abuse happened in that intimate space. And so she's like, so it makes sense that it's coming up in the intimate space. And that's where you're seeing it in the relationships, because that's where you're the most vulnerable. Yeah. That's where, you know, you're with somebody that you need to trust. And she's like, it makes sense that this is why it's coming up. So even though in other areas of my life, I was fine. I didn't have to go to therapy over my business, although some days you might like, I kind of need to. But in general, it was really the intimate relationship for me. But that's where the earlier abuse occurred. But it truly wasn't on my radar that I need therapy. I really wasn't walking around going, I'm broken. I need somebody to fix me. I was walking around going, I'm fine. I don't need anybody to fix me. You're the one with the problem, not me.
Yeah. And you just said the word broken, which I think is also a really, it's one that holds people back from going to therapy. They either don't think they are or they think they are. And either way, they don't feel good about it. And so how do you see that word broken now?
Well, first of all, I don't think any of us are broken, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I think that there's far too many like diagnoses that people put on ourselves, and we label ourselves all these things. And I don't really subscribe to a lot of that. But I do think that we're human. And the more you learn about how human beings develop, it starts to make a lot of sense of how these earlier, you know, experiences, you can have experiences that aren't necessarily abuse or traumatic that can still cause some of this early childhood wounding. And the more I've learned about it, the more I'm fascinated by it. So it kind of makes sense that really nobody is going to escape a childhood without some kind of initial wounding. But like, nobody teaches you that as you're growing up. It's just one of those things that when you're on a journey to kind of learn and explore and understand yourself. So I really don't feel like anybody is really broken. I just feel like we're all human beings at different places in our journey. And if you have things within you that, you know, was wounding, more of like, you know, ways that we got hurt, and then how we compensated and coped with that, that's really the stuff that we're working on, but not so much of like a broken.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you so much. I'm going to take you on the road with me. Because honestly, that is something I encounter a lot with people, is that they will at times be ashamed. You know, it's like the admission of their pain somehow makes them feel that this is a shameful thing that they're admitting. And so they may come to therapy, but there is a real barrier between us where they feel as if this is saying something really bad about themselves, that they're admitting that they need this support. And so what you just said resonates so much with me, and I hope with people who are listening, that it isn't about broken or not broken, and that we're all universally, you know, life is hard. Life is hard. And it's sometimes glorious and a lot of times hard. And so we are all coping. And so I think that's a really big misconception, that people show up afraid that this is confirmation that they're broken. And society tells us that too, don't they? I mean, I watch the way news media reports when, say, an athlete comes out about anxiety, or I was really interested a little while ago with the way they were handling a specific athlete when she spoke about her own anxiety and the misunderstanding about what anxiety is, first of all. And second of all, the reluctance of people to want to engage with it in a real way and say, yeah, we get this. We understand this. How do we support you? I think it's changing, but I also think people like you who are a business coach working in the business world, talking about this in a holistic way is really helping change that conversation in a way that's more about support and healing versus, you know, diagnosis and illness. Mm-hmm. You said something on the retreat also about that, you know, as a business owner, and I guess this applies for anybody, whether or not you're a business owner or not, but you bring yourself to your work also. There's no like, you know, little gate that says, okay, now I'm business Bonnie, and then other times I'm not. I bring myself to my work. So if I'm insecure or I feel uncomfortable with myself or negative self-talk or I'm worried about how I see myself in the business world, it's going to show up in how I behave in my business, right? And that's something that you really drove home that I really, really liked, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, therapy's for over there and it's, you know, my work is fine or my whatever. And it's not noticing that you bring yourself to everything that you do. You were struggling with marriages, but I'm sure your therapy actually supported you in your work too, right?
It really did. And now looking back, I can see the parallels to the things I was bringing into my work at the time and how I've changed in work and how the business has grown as I've healed and I've gotten stronger. And this absolutely, those two things are connected. Even a simple thing like time management, okay? So many people are like, you know, time management, I'm busy all the time, work-life balance. For me, like the tactical, and you hit on this when we first started this conversation, the two go together, the tactical actions that you're taking and the emotional intelligence that you're showing up and you're working with. And so when I say emotional intelligence, I'm talking about all this healing, all these emotions, all this deep-seated stuff. And so when we pair those two together, that's when we can really get great results. Because even I noticed that like I had been doing a lot of work in time management for my clients for years, right? But until I healed some things within myself that were causing me not to set boundaries, because my boundaries were violated when I was younger. And I always felt like, oh my gosh, if I set this boundary, I'm going to get in trouble. People aren't going to like me. When dad wasn't happy, bad things happened. And so until I healed that and was able to like literally set a boundary and be okay with it, I couldn't even get some of my time management skills to really like flow the way that I wanted them to flow, because that underlying emotional stuff was kind of getting in the way. And a lot of people look to a tactical solution, you know, fix my marketing, you know, plan the day better or whatever. But it's a lot of that underlying emotional gunk that's getting in the way of even making some of those tactical solutions work. They work, but like that emotional stuff will kind of get in the way. And so I've just seen myself go through this journey of, wow, when I healed this over here actually got better. And those two are connected. But, you know, good luck telling people, oh, that time management problem is actually your underlying emotional childhood wounding. They're like, yeah, right, Jen. Okay.
Thanks very much. But no, thank you.
But no thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're talking and it just happened today. I was thinking about reaching out to someone that I had met at an event. And I noticed, because, you know, I'm a therapist and I ask other people to notice, so I'm trying to notice myself. I noticed that when I thought about reaching out to this person, I told myself a story in my head, you know, in a matter of seconds, that they didn't seem too friendly. They must not have liked me. I wonder if I gave a bad impression. Like, what? Like, I just had that whole little quick little story that was bad Bonnie. They probably won't like you, so don't bother reaching out. And I saw it, I heard it, and I just was like, wow, there it shows up in a business situation where I'm talking about reaching out to somebody for a one-to-one and they haven't done anything, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. And my story could have and probably has in the past gotten in my way because my reaction, because of my past that I've spoken about on this podcast, makes me wonder, you know, I'm very sensitive to whether or not someone likes me. I can pick up on cues that they don't like me. And then I decide in my head, I tell myself a whole story and that's it. They're gone because I'm not going to stick around if you don't like me. And most people are oblivious that there's ever been any sort of conversation about this in my head. So it's a really interesting thing how it can impact your work. I mean, if you work for somebody thinking about asking for a promotion or going for a promotion or a raise, or and if your doubts are about your self-worth, you can tell a whole story in your head before you even try to put yourself out there. I think it's about being in a vulnerable place, and that prior learning tells us this is not safe, so I got to get out of here. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really, really fascinating to me, you know, how important this is. But at the same time, you mentioned it a little bit, this shame that can get associated with it, mm-hmm. this idea that I'm admitting that something's wrong with me, the being broken, but also just the idea that I'm not doing this by myself. Everybody else seems fine, and there's just something wrong with me that I need this support, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah, there just seems to be, for whatever reason, kind of a little bit of shame around I need therapy or I'm in therapy. And I felt it too back then. It was just like, well, I don't need to go to therapy because there's nothing wrong with me. Like this idea that there's something wrong with us if we're in therapy. But, and I do want to say, like, finding the right therapist, I think, is key. Because I remember in my first relationship, we went to marriage counseling. And the marriage counselor told me, you can do better. You probably should leave him. And I'm like, wait, I'm in marriage counseling to save my marriage. And the counselor is like, Jen, you could do better. I'm like, okay, oh, wow. Great. And then, you know, later on, I actually had a client recently that had needed some therapy to process through the grief of her brother's passing. And she went to a therapist, and the therapist is falling asleep in their sessions. Mm. And so she's like, you know, I'm not going to go back to therapy. And I was like, no, please. Like, even if you've had a bad experience, don't let that stop you from continuing on the journey. Because then when you find the right therapist, it makes all the difference. The amazing woman that I worked with for 4 years, she changed my life in so many ways of just by creating a safe space, helping me to understand what was really going on. I didn't even know. My husband actually picked her out of the book of like insurance providers. And I didn't even know that she had a trauma background. So I literally got very, very lucky with her. But, you know, keep looking. Even if you had a bad experience, don't like throw every therapist out just because you had a couple that, or one or whatever, that didn't really give you that experience that you're looking for. So I just really want that to be super, super clear that the right therapist makes all the difference. And honestly, they shouldn't just be like your best friend who agrees with everything. My therapist was always very kind. She was always very direct. I guess outside of therapy, I maybe would have considered her a friend. But at the end of the day, like, she challenged me and she made me think of things, and she didn't just always agree with me. And I would go into therapy and say, here's what happened. Here's how I handled it. You know, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And I was very open to that feedback, and we worked together. And I think that that makes all the difference, is that you're just going into therapy looking for a friend. You know, okay, I'm sure that your therapist will be nice to you, but find the right therapist who really challenge you, who will really work with you, and go into it with the intention to heal whatever is, you know, hurting inside of you. Go into that, into it with the intention to heal. That was my one thing, was I am going to heal this stuff. I remember when one of our first couple of sessions, she was like, Jennifer, you're going to deal with this PTSD stuff forever. It's just going to be something you're always going to deal with. And I remember thinking in my head, no, I'm not. I literally will do whatever you tell me to do to heal this stuff, because I can't even imagine a lifetime of feeling this pain over and over and over forever. And I mm-hmm. did. I did everything that she told me to do, and I did. I healed it. And it took some time, but I healed it. So finding that right therapist and then going into it and setting your intention to, I am going to heal these things. I'm not broken, but there is some pain there and I need to heal it. And it's a game changer.
I think the idea about healing it, I think, is such an important message, because, and I've talked about this with people before, they come in and say, I can't do that. It's just the type of person I am. You know, that's just not something I can do. And part of what was so magical about Costa Rica for me, and I messaged my husband, I think I told you this before, in the middle of it and said, you wouldn't recognize me. There was a physical transformation happening because for some reason, my hair loves to be curly in Costa Rica.
Mine too.
Possibly due to the humidity that was very high. So I had curly hair, obviously, where none of us are getting, you know, dressed up and makeup and all of that stuff. And then I am, you know, walking in a jungle amongst all sorts of things and sitting on the ground and eating vegan and just having an experience that is, you know, if somebody was said, here is, do you want to do go do this? Probably would have said no.
Yeah.
And so it challenged who I thought I was. And it really, I'm still processing how that shifted me. And I can say, honestly, I'm just very proud of myself for not only going, but embracing it and being open to all of the challenges. I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't scared. It wasn't that I nearly canceled. I can't tell you how many times.
I'm so glad you didn't.
Me too. But it was transformational. Yeah. And in that transformation, I was able to look at some of the views that I had of myself prior to that. And I'm a 61-year-old woman, and I just had this huge epiphany. It's never too late, and life always is there to teach you things. It's just a matter of being open. So like we were talking about going into therapy, if you go into therapy thinking, you know, you want to be proven right, or do you want to go into therapy to heal? And so sometimes people come in for the first one, and it's a bit of a challenge at first to sort of wake up to the fact that, you know, you've been right all along so far, and how's that working for you? And maybe it's time to be open to a different way to see things. So I love that you're honest with your story. I love that you're open with it. That's why I wanted to have you on the program so much. And I appreciate that because I, not only for me and my little corner of therapy world, but for the world at large, the people need to hear this message from somebody who is a successful businesswoman and not broken and willing to dig deep and really understand herself, because that's really what it's about, right? It's just trying to understand ourselves and figure out what works and then hopefully heal what doesn't. So thank you so much. I just really, really appreciate you. Not everybody is this honest or vulnerable, and you are changing lives with your message. So I appreciate you allowing me to tell this message on my podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here, Bonnie. And I have to say that when you go on this journey and you start healing, it's amazing to me when I look back that when you heal these things, it literally changes your perspective. The way that you look at things, the way that you look at life, the way that you perceive, the way that you interpret, the way that you, quote, judge, all these things change when you do it from a healed place versus a hurt place. And I got to tell you, I would do the work over and over and over again to get to the place that was healed, because the place that hurt, it hurts. And it really does change who you are and how you interact in this world. So hopefully there's some people who are listening today that will, like, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to embrace that therapy thing. It's definitely worth doing the work on yourself. So thank you so much for having me here today.
You're welcome. And before we go, you're a business coach. You're phenomenal. How can people find out more about you and your business?
They can find me online at jenniferdawncoaching.com. And when you go to the website, everything that you need is there, including lots of freebies, information on our upcoming retreats. If you've been listening to Costa Rica, we're going to Sedona here pretty soon. And we're going to be going to Bali at the end of the year. So there's information on the retreats and coaching, and everything that you need is at jenniferdawncoaching.com.
That's fantastic. And we'll have that in the show notes too. Thank you. I honestly feel like I wish we could had more time. I know you're busy, and I appreciate this so much. So thanks again.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening in. I hope you've learned a thing or two that you can apply today. To explore further or to get in touch with me, just visit my website at bonniewims.com. There you can book a complimentary 30-minute online video session to ask me any questions and determine if working together feels right for you, or you can submit your questions about therapy, and I'll do my best to offer answers on an upcoming episode. Remember, therapy might not be for everyone, but it may be right for you.